How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy. And today we're going to be exploring how one aspect of AI is reshaping therapeutic practices, in this case, coaching and professional development, and what that means for practitioners and clients, and how we can balance innovation with humanity in this rapidly evolving field. To join us on this discussion, we have Dr. Lisa Turner, whose company, CET Found Freedom, is or supports one of the world's most advanced libraries of AI-powered tools specifically designed for coaches, leaders, and growth practitioners. Welcome aboard the show, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Really appreciate it.
So, I mean, we both operate in the space of AI on a number of levels. I've been building an analytics platform around the space and working with some major institutions across North America around the development of it. You're coming at it from the perspective of the chatbot end, which is completely different. Mine, you know, I'm about measurement and figuring out predictive analytics, but you're actually about the interface with the individual. And there are lots of really interesting aspects around that that are misunderstood because people think, well, it's just like the next gen of Google. I'll type in what I'm thinking and it's going to give me a response. But there's more to it than that. How did you come to start building that out and to looking at that space?
Yeah, so that is kind of interesting. So, because I have this really, if I was like a Venn diagram of my life, like tech and personal and spiritual development. And, you know, there are lots of people in tech, lots of people in personal and spiritual development, and not many with this big chunky overlap that I have. So my doctorate is in aeroacoustics and mathematical modeling. So I understand coding, I understand machine learning, I understand numerical methods, numerical modeling. And so I've, you know, got that background. I've got a, my first degree is in systems engineering. Prior to training as an engineer, I was actually trafficked as a child, kept as a house prisoner for 5 years, and I eventually escaped, but had, you know, PTSD and all of the labels.
Horrible.
All of the labels, yeah. And I was doing engineering kind of because I thought, well, it's nice and logical and I won't need to, you know, we don't need to do any of that emotional stuff and it'll all be fine because it's all just got, you know, it's got an answer. There's an answer. It turns out that's not actually how engineering works. But anyway.
I understand exactly what you mean in that perspective. The brain doesn't either, but we try and figure it out.
Yeah.
Rationalize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everyone thinks science has got an answer and it's like, oh, there's just, you know, there's probably a bunch of answers and we'll just pick the one that's most useful today. And I mean, that's one of the really powerful phrases in engineering, which is this, or concepts, is this, like, what is it? Does it work? Is it useful? Right? I don't, you know, like people are getting all the quantum theory. So I don't care. Is it any use?
Yes.
So back to my whirlwind life story, which I will keep brief. So then I had a near-death experience. So I got hit by a car, broke most of the bones in the right-hand side of my body, and floating above, looking down at my broken body. And I had this sort of incredible experience of bliss and inner peace and this sense of this presence beside me, like the classic near-death experience. And there was this like, well, do you want to come with us? Do you want to go back? Like, what are you doing? And there was zero pressure and zero pain. So obviously I did come back, took me a long time to recover.
Of course.
But I came back with two questions. What the bloody hell was that? And how do I get back there without actually dying? So then I sat on this, I just thought I'm just going to put my engineering research hat on. And I set about exploring everything. So I studied everything from, you know, all kinds of spiritual disciplines, personal development, NLP, hypnosis, timeline therapy, shamanic practicing, practitioner training, like esoterics, Western mystery, Eastern mystery, tantra, like pretty much every, you know, like when I say that, I never say I've done everything. I have done far from everything, but I did a lot. And I discovered a couple of things. I discovered there's a lot of nonsense out there and a lot of total BS. And I also discovered that there was stuff that worked a little bit. I discovered there was stuff that worked not at all and stuff that worked sometimes and then not others. And so what I did was I reverse engineered it. And then I spent 20 years teaching these spiritual models, which is basically you do this, 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 and this, and you will get this answer. And every time you do this, 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 and this, you will get this. And I did all the kind of experimenting of like, well, if I take out this step, do I still get this? No. Okay, so that step's really important. If I add in a step, oh, that breaks it.
So it's an incremental approach, but does it also have to follow a certain order?
For some things, yes, and for some things, no. And it depends, because what I do is I broke it down into like micro processes, if you like, right. which is a lot how systems work. So, you know, systems engineering works often with you don't look at the entire system. You look at all the little components of the system, and then you look at how they all interact with each other. So I did a lot of both. Looking at, well, each in, you know, so for example, there is a fairly reliable process that I have that I developed, which seems to 98% of the time, if they follow the instructions, repair, and I use that word quite specifically, repair trauma in the nervous system. So it repairs the experience of trauma and removes what we label as negative emotions. It works in a completely counterintuitive way to the way most other methodologies work. And it seems to work every time.
And how does it work counterintuitively to most others? Because there are approaches which specifically focus on that and walk you through. It's almost a hypnotic process. And there's always the process about, you know, seeing your life from the second person, the third person, further back in the theater. How does it differ?
So it has that component, but where my model, which is what CET stands for, conscious emotional transformation, what this model works, one of the ways it works differently is it doesn't presume that negative emotions are bad or that they even, it's not that because there's a lot of methodologies out there all about letting go of it, negative emotions, letting go of the pain, let it go. And I found this like, if we experience negative emotions, there must be a point to them. There must be a reason. So I came at it from that.
Right.
Then I had this, while I was doing the research, I always find the universe shows me these little signs. And I had these two experiences. And I had my tumble dryer broke because it got a pound coin wedged somewhere that broke a bearing. And it cost about 100 quid to fix. At the same time, in the same week, I went overdrawn in my bank by £1. And I got a you know, you've gone overdrawn. Here's a £20 fine for the trouble. Yep. And I was like, oh, wow, this is how we think of emotion. We think of emotion as being good or bad. And it's like, what if it's all just energy and it's energy in the wrong place and that's why it feels bad? And what causes the energy to get stuck in the wrong place? So I looked at it as there's two causes of energy, two sources, if you like, of what we label as any kind of emotion, but negative emotion specifically. And we feel a negative emotion in the moment because we're moving away from what we want or towards what we don't want. And it's just a course, Chris, just guidance. It's just saying, not that, this. So there's that. So it's just a direction, you know, just to tell you, you know, like it's just a gauge, just a information. And then I looked at, well, I know that I feel negative emotions as a result of experiences in my past. So what's going on there? So then I thought, well, what if we thought of my nervous system, and I applied it completely to myself first. What if I thought about my nervous system simply as something like a conduit for whether you might call it energy or electricity? And when there's a blockage in that, just like a capacitor or just like a dam in a river, it's often easier for most people to understand. You dam a river, you get a lake upstream, and you get a trickle downstream, right?
Sure.
And so the problem isn't the water upstream. Like what you feel, and the problem isn't the trickle downstream. What you feel as a negative emotion is actually the difference. Your nervous system is a difference-seeking engine. It's a difference engine.
Right.
The classic AI or machine learning technology, it just notices different. That's why when the air conditioning turns off and it's suddenly silent, you go, what happened? You know, and it's like this low hum that's been there all day. Suddenly you notice that it's gone because you notice the difference. So I came at it from the perspective of, well, what causes that difference? And then there's a whole process, which will probably take too long for this podcast to explain. It is in this book, which I will hold up, which is called CET Yourself Free. I explain that in there.
Where's the book available? CET Self?
Just on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. Set Yourself Free. And I love that it's called Set because we can have lots of fun puns. And I have my community of setizens.
There you go.
I love to gamify things. I'm a geeky, nerdy person. What can I say?
That's nothing. Not bad about that. We need that to make the world go round and innovate.
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think so. So that's just one of the processes that I, to bring it back to AI. So that's just one of the processes. Now, I can't AI-ify the entire set process, the entire methodology, but I can AI-ify parts of it. So then if we come to, well, what's going on in the personal development, wellness community and industry and coaching industry when it comes to AI? And I see three, maybe four levels of usage. So the first level is just your productivity hacks. You know, you're creating content, you're scheduling, you're analyzing data, stuff like that. Really, really useful. Saves coaches a bunch of time. Coaches actually only spend something around 60, if they're really lucky, 60% of their time actually coaching. The rest of the time they spend doing stuff that's not coaching. Yes. And AI can absolutely help with that. And, you know, that's not really what I do, but I can do it. And I have done it for people and made tools for them. The next level is where people just talk to either a generic therapy or coaching chatbot, or even worse, they just talk to an AI, an LLM. Now, the reason I say this, I do not recommend this, because here's the thing about AI. People call, you know, they talk about, you know, artificial intelligence like it is intelligent. It's actually not. It's not that intelligent. It is a slightly sophisticated prediction engine. And so it's got, you know, it's slightly bigger context than the predictive text on your phone. And when I say slightly bigger, significantly bigger, massively bigger data sets to draw on. And that's actually part of, much as it's part of its strength, it's also part of its weakness. So it can draw on anything. So what that means is, for the regular user, if they don't know what to ask the AI, which is typically called prompting, they will get the most generic, superficial answer. Then layer into that AI being a people pleaser. Then layer into that it just affirms everything you say and says you're brilliant and wonderful. You end up with a very, like, potentially manipulative, and we've seen this, and potentially dangerous, or at best not terribly helpful. And we're now seeing, you know, AI induced psychosis as a thing. And I went south.
The problem is when people go to AI and type in a query or type in a question, you know, question in any form or ask for reflection, they're not establishing guardrails.
Exactly.
Right. And the guardrails are key to the success of the output being relevant and actionable as well as insightful. And part of, you know, what I'm curious about is, you know, AI can be a partner in transformation and in coaching, that, you know, it's very particular, but dealing with the concept of hallucination, where a user is dealing with an issue, there's some data in there, but AI has to build a bridge between the data, and that's where it falls into trouble, because it's creating the bridge as opposed to basing it in fact. How do you address that?
So I do this by, rather than having one specific generic AI tool that tries to do everything, I have actually, I'm just going to wind this back a bit. One of the things I do is, I think that there's been a movement which is slightly misdirected to put AI between coaches and their clients to kind of try and replace the coach. And I think of it as, rather than doing that, to augment what the coach does with the client. So that's the first piece. I don't try and get AI in between me and my clients, or when I work, you know, when I make tools for other coaches, to put it in the way. I actually try and use it, support the coach and enhance their work. So there's a couple of ways I do that, and I'll come back to that. So this comes to the second level of using AI, mm-hmm. Which is, so the first way of using AI for coaching and therapy is just talking to a chatbot, either directly to the LLM or even a trained tool. Mm-hmm. Then the second level, which is what I do, is to create hyper-specific tools that do one thing really well, and they go really, really deep, and they do not divert. And the way I do that with really, really specific prompting and guardrails. And I've also developed a methodology of prompting. I haven't really come up with a good name of it. It's essentially a recursive, iterative, depth probing process. Right. So what it does is it keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper until the client loops or comes back up to the top. And then we go down deeper and deeper again. And it does that by asking layered questions in specific ways, but also looking at the answers that the client gives them and not diverting and going off into hallucinatory tangents. It's like, if we're looking for this specific, we're working on this specific model.
That's like a three perceptual position model for analysis, but you're building it in the AI.
Yes. Yes, and that's one of the processes I do, suite of tools that I create, and they have very specific. They're just really, really specific. The other thing I do is I often get the tool to come at it from a different angle, which is rather than looking at what is the problem, I actually get it to look at the context. So it starts to ask questions to create a wider context. Now this is where we need to do something a little bit more sophisticated with the use of modeling and the use of tooling, because we hit up against, this is where we need to have an external memory, because you can't rely on the actual memory of the tool of an LLM.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, BRASCO, at CannabisRadio.com.
Even if it's a custom GPT, you need to build out something. So you need to have a RAG. So it's got, which is like an external memory, like a third brain. Right. So that you've got that to refer to and then come back and refer to and come back. Cause it just, the context window isn't big enough. So the context window is a little bit like with predictive text on your phone. It's like, I'm going to look at the most likely next word. So that's the context window, which is tiny. In an LLM, it's significantly bigger, but it's still only about 8,000 tokens. And nobody really knows what a token is. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's a syllable, sometimes it's a letter. It's actually a kind of chunk of information. So the context window is wider and it can remember that. And that's kind of why it hallucinates so much, because it's like, oh, this isn't in my context window. So I'll just go make something up. I'll go find something from somewhere else.
Right.
So what I do is I've built with tools building tools with an external memory that are a bit more sophisticated, shall we say. And this is where the tool really relies on my models that it's coded in. And this is where I think it's really important. One of the phrases I say is, you can't AI-ify, if that's a verb.
It will be.
Yeah, I think it pretty much is. It's going to be.
Google didn't used to be a verb either, so.
No, but you can't AI-ify you can't AI-ify anything unless you know the process. Right. And that's where I think it's like, you know, when I mentioned before this Venn diagram of my life, it's like, because I understand tech and I understand process and I understand personal development and spiritual development, it's like, I've got this overlap, this, you know, this bit in the middle that, you know, so you get people with personal development and they don't really understand process. They don't even necessarily understand their own process. And that shows up as, I mean, some people do, and they somehow, you know, that's where they have conscious competence. But there's a lot of brilliant coaches and therapists out there that have what I call unconscious competence, you know. So, right. And they'll often say, I'm just intuitive. And I'll say, yeah, that just means you do something brilliantly, but you don't know what it is. And it's like, it's all happening under the hood, but you don't necessarily know what it is. Now, one of the things that it's like, if I'm going to brag about anything I do really well, it's being able to spot the patterns that they're doing. Sure. And then I've also created a whole bunch of AI tools that will assist them, so those brilliant coaches and therapists, to find their own patterns and processes. And that's, so when they know that, then they can build, we can build for them, with them, and a tool that takes either one of their processes or several of them and turn them into micro AI tools that they can use with their clients. So one of the things I find that clients love, they love using the tools and they love going deep. And then they come back to the, you know, the coaching session, super excited that they found some juicy limiting belief. They found some values misalignment. They found some past experience that, you know, or some diagnosis that, not even necessarily a diagnosis, but some process that they're running unconsciously that they never knew was there, that the tool has found. Now, this is where AI excels at. Where it's really rubbish at, is that I think it so far is actually creating any level of, like, the next phase is like, well, that's the diagnosis, that's the diagnostic. And by diagnosis and diagnostic, I don't mean giving it like some kind of label of, you know, personality disorder or something like that. It's like, okay, here's the process that's running in your unconscious mind.
Right.
And it's, and here's why it's problematic. Or here's the challenges it's causing in these situations. Here's where it serves you really well, so you might want to use it. And here's where it doesn't serve you. So clients then come to me and they're really excited. So that's what I mean by diagnosis. So they come to me with this, you know, with this realization, and that's when we can take the work even further, because now we've got something juicy to adapt, modify in their nervous system. So we can actually change how their neurology works. And this might be something that looks like very traditional, you know, hypnotherapy or CBT or NLP type processes that, or a collection of them. But because we've got these, the depth of this unconscious processing that they never knew, and we might have got eventually after 2 years of working together, and we can get with AI, we can get to with AI in a matter of, I mean, often a matter of weeks. Which is the usually the client playing with the tools in, you know, over a, they might spend a few hours with it. They might spend, you know, like a matter of hours. There might be 5 hours, 10 hours, and they often enjoy it because they get this, they get feedback and they get further questions and they get feedback and further questions. So it doesn't just feel like a dry personality questionnaire. So that's the second level.
Right.
Should we go to the third?
We should.
Okay. So the third level is what I'm working on now. I have built only so far. And I laugh when I say this because I've built only three working prototypes. And when I say working, I use this term very loosely. This is like the, you know, the Heath Robinson, the, like, it is held together with chewing gum and elastic bands and duct tape. You have duct tape where you are?
We do. If you knew anything about Canadians and new red green, duct tape solves every problem.
It does. WD-40 and duct tape, and if it can't be solved with that or turning it on and off,
exactly,
it's really broken. Or Gorilla Glue.
Gorilla Glue, yeah. That's a whole other solution.
Yeah. So my prototype is literally held together with this, and it does fall over a bit. But what it does is we have, so what we're doing is I'm taking about, at the moment I've got about 17 different models. And it, what it does is it asks the user what seem like endless questions. They do eventually stop. But a lot of questions. It takes about 20 to 50 hours to train the tool on these models. And when I say train them on these models, it trains them on that we're actually training the tool on the client.
Right.
Right. Yep. So it learns the client's Colby, their Big Five, their DISC profile, their Myers-Briggs, their Enneagram, their human design, their, you know, and we've used not only Western psychology models, we've also brought in Eastern mystery, Western mystery, spiritual models, some of my in-house IP models, you know, proprietary models I won't bother. So I have one that's called the Conscious Threshold, which works out where they are in terms of this tipping point into transcendence, where they're about to go into becoming a transcendent being. And that's another whole really interesting conversation. So what the tool then does is it learns the user, and then it becomes their ultimate personal mentor, assistant, support, but with guardrails, and also with constant, like I go in and check what the tool is doing to make sure it's not going off track, and I'll flag with the client or the user, you know, okay, starting to go into, like hyper, and then I'll tweak it and change it. So as I say, we're still in the prototype land, but here's what I found with the three tools that I've used and doing this work with high net worth, highly successful people. They come to me, and this is where I think it gets really interesting from like the whole how this is going to impact humanity, because that's something that's I talk about in this book, which is called Our Conscious Tipping Point, available on Amazon. But you can also, if you go to ourconscioustippingpoint.com, I will give you a copy for free. Unless at the moment, if you're in the States, I'm not allowed to post them to you because I get charged like $57 in tax or something.
Tariffs, yep.
And my firstborn child, I have to give to a man with a fiddle on a bridge or something. I said that to someone to say, what are you saying? It's like giving your firstborn to the devil. Okay. But we're not. Just high tariffs. Anyway.
We could talk about Nero and Rome burning, but the analogy would be lost.
Yes.
But you know, we're running low on time, but one of the things is AI, you know, these tools, and I understand where you're going with it, because a lot of the work is actually overlapping with stuff I've built and is working. And that's, you know, the educational institutions I'm working with are testing it. And it's really cool. But then we look at the next stage, neuroscience, biofeedback, virtual environments, and so on. How do you see them converging? And what's the biggest thing therapists and practitioners and coaches need to do to prepare for this?
I mean, that is a great question. So I think, and this is where I think a lot of the work will go next to, is the AI augmented coach. So either learn. So one of the things I will eventually be doing, and this is in my kind of down the line, once I've got the project, once we're out of prototype, we're in beta, and we've got it robust, this tool, then what we'll be doing is like that. I think we will never, and I don't ever want to be in the place where we are replacing coaches and putting that between coaches.
No,
and
exactly.
And I think having a coach that understands this tool and works with this tool with their clients, they will be phenomenal.
Yeah, so they're much better informed going in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think what coaches need to do now is to really learn what their own process is, learn some AI tools and get some access to their own, like even developing their own AI tools or, you know, I'm really happy. I've got a whole bunch of free ones that we can give people use to on the on my website.
Right. So people who want to do that, they go to ctfreedom.com? Or?
Yep, that's a great place to go. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a, you know, and that's a fantastic resource for people to start exploring and learning more, because there are more and more applications coming in different areas. It's not just the point solutions like the comms and the livens and the headspaces that people look at for mental health, but it actually is a much more dynamic marketplace that's coming up behind it that is also more in depth. So Lisa, you know, we are out of time for today. If there's one last thing you want to share as a message for people who are trying to figure out how to apply AI into their coaching practice, what would it be?
I would say do not be afraid to, or even be, let's phrase it positively, Doctor Who it. So Doctor Who, if you ever watch Doctor Who, he gets onto an alien spaceship, and what he does is he pushes buttons, sees what happens. Even though he doesn't know the language, doesn't know what the buttons do, push buttons, see what happens. So treat it with this open mind, childlike experimentation. Test it on yourself. Push buttons, see what happens. So go and play with as many different language models, as many different coaching tools that are out there as you can get your hands on. And I would also say this, try and break them. Try and get them to do things they weren't designed for, because that's where it often gets really interesting, when we start to move beyond the boundaries.
It is. It go is play. Definitely.
Go play. Very much.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us today on High and Healthy, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky, and we'll be back again with you soon.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.